From KCRW Santa Monica and KCRW.com, it's The Treatment. Welcome to The Treatment. I'm Elvis Mitchell. One of the things I love about movies is seeing the work, the life that costume designers bring to movies. And my guest, Mark Bridges, forgive me, Academy Award winner Mark Bridges, has a great eye for taking people who sometimes are worn, sometimes their costumes were them, and sometimes you get to see the shift in that. I mean, you can think about the way he dressed our old friend Phil Hoffman in so many movies, from Boogie Nights to Magnolia to Punch Drunk Love to The Master to, well, his newest film, since he's done all Paul Thomas Anderson's films, is Phantom Thread. But I associate you so much with David O. Russell as well, because you did three films with him. But I even think about you, Tim Thomerson, when I think about you, the Albert Band movie you did.
Oh, my goodness. That was a while ago.
That's how you got your start as a real costume designer, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I look at my IMDb, and I don't even remember doing a film called Doll Man versus Demonic Toys. But I have a vague recollection of Robot Wars. And then now here we are today. I mean, it's that funny. It's that story like in Bad and the Beautiful. You know, they start out with cat people and they end up, you know, with incredible films, you know, so.
And it's just as interesting a path, I think, as mm-hmm. the Bad and the Beautiful. I guess one of the things I was talking about, though, is that dynamic of sometimes, again, I was thinking about that suit that Barry wears in Punch Drunk Love, that electric blue suit, or that incredible velvet suit that Martin Short wears in Inherent Vice, and or that stunning green suit that Phil Hoffman wore in The Master. And this, the interesting schism sometimes of these actors, these people don't quite understand what their clothes say about them. Right. Talk about that a little bit.
Those instances right there, you know, I don't work in a vacuum. You know, I think for Barry in Punch Drunk Love, that Paul had us watch some things like American in Paris and the way that the blues read in Technicolor. And I think that came from that. So it kind of comes from research and Paul being daring and then me taking over and rendering it in a suit that looks good and photographs well, whatever. You know, the suit in Inherent Vice, that was Pinchon.
Yeah, that's the book is it. And so then it's like ultraviolet, which is more blue than
right. I had two samples, and we felt like this is going to be a little less teeth hurting blue. You know, it's like the ultraviolet that I had was a little not pretty. So, but that came from Pinchon, and then the green suit. You know, I thought Phil's character might look good in that weird green. And they were using kind of unusual greens and menswear at the end of the 40s. So it all comes from some different place for each time. But it's fun to be able to play like that.
I was thinking, too, I really love the way you use lace. And I was thinking about the lace in Amy Adams' dress in The Master, and also thinking about the lace in that red dress that almost looks like a waitress uniform in Phantom Thread. And you just gave me a thumbs up.
I did. You got it. You know, it's a suggestion of Paul's. You know, is there some way that we can see how Alma has affected Woodcock's work? And that came from that, you know, a request from Paul, and we get together and figure that out, you know. And some people see it and some people don't.
It's funny because Charles James, who is kind of a muse to Phantom Thread in his way, was also an architect. And, mm-hmm. and the clothes kind of worked in that way. There's a certain kind of interior theatricality to them, but they're also very practical. I mean, I'm aware of the weight of British wool in all those outfits. Mm-hmm. And that's really kind of key to the storytelling too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's part of the house of Woodcock, the look of that. Daniel loves wools and really loves British woolens and the ones with the colors woven in and things. And he was really taken with them. So we tried to use them in the Woodcock line wherever possible. You know, I think Woodcock is a little simpler than that architectural feeling of Charles James. You know, it's a little easier. You know, his stuff seems really cantilevered and physics and, you know, everything about making clothes. I think Woodcock's is a little more emotional.
I find myself thinking, too, of whenever I saw his socks, I found myself thinking of Peter O'Toole, who always wore green socks no matter what he's wearing. And there's almost a kind of basically a totemic quality to those socks for mm-hmm. him, isn't there?
And I think, yes, and I think that was the goal of that. It was, you know, you look at a man, this character, you know, is he more interesting with magenta socks or is he – who is that guy with just black socks? You know, really simple detail, but it speaks volumes about who he is and his view on the world, you know, and that was something that Daniel brought to the table, those socks.
I was also thinking so much, too, about – for you, for the way that you use lace, I mean, to remind us that lace was once upon a time a part of clothing. And, mm-hmm. and there's a durability in lace that we don't think about, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And I was lucky enough to be able to work with some amazing Chantillys and, you know, be able to show them off and to see skin through them. And then, of course, a story point is this lace that was saved from the war. You know, so but lace is quite a bit of the House of Woodcock.
There's also, again, that piece that Amy Adams is wearing in The Master. You see the lace, basically sort of the lace kind of work around the front of the dress and the cuffs. And I was thinking, it reminded me of being in Spain, just going through rummage sales or and you see lace on pillowcases everywhere. I mean, it really is something I think is being a very European thing.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Also, at the time of 1955, it was still used, but, you know, there's a sensibility to Woodcock that is of an earlier age. And he talks about learning his craft from his mother. And so that I think, you know, there's a sensibility of earlier part of the 20th century there, even though he's kind of doing Dior shapes or what shape was popular in the world and in London at that time.
Well, it's funny you say Dior, but I find myself thinking a little bit of Chanel just because of the way the outfits kind of fold in towards the genital area on the clothes, mm-hmm. that way Chanel did. And that was that kind of a touchstone for you too?
Not consciously. You know, we made a lot of things and I was just trying to get, you know, the formula, which was basically, you know, fitted bodice, the proper skirt length, shoulder treatments that felt like we don't see them now. I'm always trying to find things that are really unique to the period and are interesting now, though, you know, that you maybe haven't seen before.
It's a treat. We're talking about lace with Academy Award winner Mark Bridges, whose newest Oscar nomination comes for the Paul Thomas Anderson film Phantom Thread. I think, though, that I think about that so often, there's a sort of a schism between people wearing clothes they feel they should wear and comfort. I mean, I was thinking about, again, we look at Joaquin in Inherent Vice, where he's the only person who seems to be dressed comfortably in the entire movie, and whereas everybody else is in kind of a uniform.
There's a lot of things that I make decisions on that feel right, or they feel right to Paul. You know, it's like on an emotional level. And that's how things work out. I'm always very concerned about the actors, whether they're able to work in whatever I'm giving them and feel comfortable, if it's right for the role. There are things that people need to wear underpinnings or they need to have a small armhole because it's a period or whatever. But for the most part, they're the ones who are in front of the camera. They need to create this world and they need to be comfortable in that skin that I'm giving them.
But you're creating a world for them too, though. And again, I always think of your pieces as pieces of storytelling. I mean, mm-hmm. all those women's outfits. I mean, when we get to go to the brothel and those two pieces that those women are wearing are just kind of built for both exhibitionism and comfort at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are creating a world that they have to feel real in, especially when you're working with actors. All of the actors that work with Paul, you know, are there to create a world. So I'm there to give that to them, a little bit of external world, and then they'll do their inside work. We try to have stuff be as real as possible and have that be their imagination be able to run free.
But that's the wonder again, because I said at the outset, sometimes we fit these clothes. These people don't realize what the statements these clothes are making for them, like Barry in that suit, mm-hmm. which at a certain point he seems like he's trapped in that first cut filled in that leather blazer that's made for action, that's made to make a statement, but also to be comfortable too.
Yeah.
That kind of visual drama really sort of speaks to some part of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I'm saying with choices being made on an emotional level too. You know, I couldn't put my finger on why some things are really good. That's why I'm a little at a disadvantage to sometimes talk about it, because I made the decision because it just felt right. It felt right and it photographed well and it looked good. And then somewhere down the line, hey, it's a pretty good storyteller too. It's a pretty good indicator of what's going on in a weird way, you know, in an unusual way. So because you're always looking for a fresh way to say something, you know, visually.
Well, so much too is because so often on movies you see movies where the clothes are provided by design lines and those are the kinds of things you can see everywhere. Whereas in the stuff you do, I'm used to seeing stuff that I know I'm only going to see in one place. And there's a real specificity in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Because for me, that idea of somebody trying to tell you who they are seems to me weirdly an incredibly American idea. And so that's why the ease that Woodcock has in Phantom Thread seems like it's such a almost like a real difference from the kinds of clothes you've done in movies heretofore.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. It was also, you know, a world that Daniel really knew well, kind of grew up in that world and had it down as far as the kind of person that he wanted to be. You know, shoes at Cleverly's, suits at Anderson Shepherd.
Oh, Cleverly, okay.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful shoes there. I did make one concession, and I had my shirts made here in Beverly Hills because the British were like, you want those shirts when? You know, and I had to be like, oh, no, this is not going to work on my schedule. And it was actually faster to have my guys in Beverly Hills make them and send them to me than it would have been to have them made in London. And they did a beautiful job as usual. And so Daniel really had it down. And he of course, in part of his immaculate preparation, you know, knew how to make himself feel a certain way and present himself in a certain way. It was wonderful choosing fabrics with him. It was, you know, he had ideas. I had ideas. I knew what we needed to be able to tell the story, how much we needed to get made. He's very interesting guy. We went back and forth between long ties and bow ties and what was his smock that he wears and things. It was just really fun to work it out.
We're talking about palette and construction with my guest, Academy Award winner Mark Bridges. His newest film is costume designer, is Phantom Thread, The Treatment. More to come. Stay with us.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
Welcome back. I'm thrilled to have Mark Bridges sitting across from me. He has worked in the film business for over 20 years and made some of the most incredible decisions for making an impact in films we can think about. It's The Treatment. I guess I want to go back a little bit, too, to the way you find a way to present physicality. I mean, I want to go back again to Jude Law in Huckabee, just because the idea of this guy saying, I belong here, I need to be seen. And not understanding how much those suits sort of scream insecurity in some interesting way. That feels like it's almost instinctive to you, that you get as much a read as a character as, say, an actor would.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I do try to make decisions in the mindset of an actor or how we're going to tell a story. Also, I'll do tricky things. Like, I know as his character sort of has a breakdown at some point, we kept finding beats on where to make the shirt bigger. So we play with size a little bit too. And so he's really losing it. And it's also, he's just shrinking there a little bit. So it's funny, tricky things that are kind of imperceptible, but you feel it. You feel it somehow, you know. But you're not saying like, oh, he's in a different size shirt. You know, I try to do funny things like that when I can. You know, you don't want to be too tricky. But I love having, you know, things that will make an actor maybe hold himself a little differently. You know, Joaquin in The Master was incredible with those high-waisted trousers and how he took to them.
Yeah,
how he took to them, and it would change how he stood, and sort of he was very thin at the time. And
you can also see his shoulder blades and the backs of those shirts.
Absolutely. And if you saw him today or you see him in Inherent Vice, he's not like that. You know, he took on a complete different character and a whole stance and everything. And I think those trousers helped him do that.
Absolutely. But I guess as you were talking about what you do with science, that you just, I just flashed on The Artist, where when he's down in his cups a little bit, I mean, in effect, it's both in sort of figurative and visual terms, the John Gilbert story.
Absolutely.
And that point where he's wearing that suit that feels like it's a size too big, that he's sort of shrunken in stature. Am I mm-hmm. mistaken about that?
I may have played with the size of the shirt.
Oh, might you have? Really?
I might have done that. Not maybe with the suit, but with the shirt there as he's sort of just spending his days with a bottle. I may have had him shrink a little bit.
So I guess I'm not mistaken in paying attention
to
these things.
You are watching. You are paying attention.
But I do feel that that's one of the lost art of costume. And I feel like it's almost you've had some training as an actor or something, well, some familiarity with the way actors, the way costumes change the way somebody stands.
You know, I was a theater major for undergraduate school. And so, and really, that's was a, I was also taking, you know, costume design class, and then also, you know, like, you know, playwriting 101 and acting. And so, you know, you're trying to find out your way, but you'd have to analyze scripts. You would have to, you know, the Aristotelian theory, you know, time, place. And so all that stuff. And then, of course, working with actors and having to work as an actor on that level, you know, it's undergraduate college, what about it? But you learn about, like, what is this character, like character study, like what that discipline is all about. And so you can switch into those mindsets or know the work that goes on behind that and then try to figure out how to help make it be a whole person, you know, inside and out.
What I find interesting about your work, too, is that the women characters seem to be so much more conscious about what the clothes are saying than do the men. I'm thinking about Amy Adams in The Master. Those clothes are designed with an eye for making a statement and saying who and what she is. She's of the earth. She doesn't really want to be noticed. They're not really to be seen in, but there's an underlying strength to that. And I feel the same thing in those clothes that Leslie Manville wears in Phantom Thread. I mean, that kind of almost steel gray in mm-hmm. those clothes. They take the light, but they say she's serious. And there's the difference between that and black. Black, you just kind of want to hide. It's uniform. This is her way of saying, I deserve your attention, but I'm a serious person. I don't really want to be seen. Again, for me, these women in your works mm-hmm. are really aware of the statement these clothes are wearing. These are making much more than the men.
Yes. And, you know, Amy's was kind of practical aspects of it. You know, it seemed right for a woman who spends most of the film pregnant. You know, what that meant to be expecting in 1950. And sort of so it lent itself to a sort of tidy, efficient look, quiet in the background of her husband. Leslie, it came from studying Balenciaga's studio and how the women who were sold the clothes dressed, and then Paul had wanted to show off Leslie's fair skin. and he wanted her in black. And I tried to do navy blue or something first, and he was like, I really want black. And I said, well, how about charcoal gray? Because it's going to photograph better, be a little more flattering, and not seem like mourning, but it would seem strong.
It also takes the lightning away, the black, unless you're doing some like crepe de chine, which has a little gleam in it. You want that kind of – that really subtle sheen to it.
I mean, a little lift, I think. And, you know, there's a technical side of my work too. You know, it was going to photograph better. You know, there are fabrics I avoid or – colors and things that I avoid, how we're lighting or how we're shooting. And so I try to get things with a little bit of bounce and light and life to them. Even if it's black, it should have an edge when they shoot it, you know?
It's a treatment. We're talking about edge with my guest, the costume designer, Martin Bridges, whose newest Oscar nomination, congratulations, by the way, is for Phantom Thread. I can't sit here and not talk to you about what I love, your work in musical numbers. I'm thinking about Silver Linings Playbook.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And all, not just the outfits the stars wear, but the outfits all those people wear in those musical numbers, which is almost that section of the film to me is like each number is like a mini movie in itself, isn't
mm-hmm,
it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I'm desperately trying to go back into my memory about all of it. I have this great ability to just forget about the last thing that I did, you know. So we're talking about the competitors,
yes,
in the thing. You know, I think it was a world that David wanted to capture. So that stuff was mostly the real dancers' clothes, other than, of course, Bradley and Jennifer's. But which I'm very proud of Jennifer's little outfit there because,
you should be.
You know, it was kind of based on her rehearsal clothes, but then also sort of reinterpreted into something vaguely showbiz with some sort of glisteny stretch lace. And then it was vaguely ill-advised as well. And, you know, so it came out really well. It came out compared to the other dancers who were professionals. You know, you build in a little visual disadvantage or whatever, you know. So that was really fun. It was athletic and it was really trying very hard, but somehow it was at a different plane.
It was, because it also going back to posture, what wearing that outfit does for Bradley's character. He stands differently in that. I mean, you can see it's given him a sense of pride.
Absolutely. It was very simple, too. I really, over the years, I'm really seeing that, you know, simplicity is really the way to go.
Well, because as we talk about this, I guess I find myself thinking about, again, your collaborations with Phil Hoffman, mm-hmm. who was an actor's actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very specific about what he wanted to say. And I wonder if you can remember some of those conversations with him about costume.
It's interesting because he was in Paul's first movie in Hard Eight. And so we did Hard Eight. I had no idea who he was at the time. I think he'd been in like Basketball Diaries and things before that.
And Sound of a Woman. He had very small parts in movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I didn't know who he was. But it just seemed right. He was open and game for that. For Scotty J, then would have been next in Boogie Nights.
And again, that's an example of somebody who doesn't understand what the clothes are saying, but is trying to say something that the clothes are saying something entirely different, his lack of awareness about his body.
All Paul said is that he should be dressed like a 14-year-old boy. That was my instructions, and that's what we came up with. That's what we came up with. I think Phil was okay with it as long as he could get the pants buttoned. He was fine. But then we found weird things. Like on New Year's Eve, he wears that crazy racer jacket.
Well,
he's trying to show his new car. And, you know, you have a racer jacket that I found in the Midwest when we went and did some vintage shopping. And I was like, hey, this kind of looks good. And it kind of works out to be this weird, like, whole presentation for Dirk, you know. But it felt right, you know. So, Phil, try this on. you know, try that. He was good about that. And then what would have been?
Magnolia would have been.
We would have done Magnolia, which was real straightforward. Just be comfort and a regular guy. You know, he's a bit of a small time businessman, hustler, criminal.
Vaguely. He is a criminal in Punch Drunk Love.
I'm trying to hedge things. In Punch Drunk, you know, so there's a...
I mean, and he dresses like a thug he'd seen in the movie almost. Like, this is what I would have seen a tough guy in a movie wear. This is the way I want to look. I saw Goodfellas 4 times.
Yet it's not even that scary. It's just misguided. A couple of too many rings and a too tight belt. And then, you know, the master, I remember him... just sort of taking it in. I would bring him these things and he would look at himself for a very long time at what we were trying to do. And he took to those double-breasted suits very well and took to these sort of leisure jackets that were popular in the 40s and 50s really well. I think we were creating together. It's interesting. There's a kind of a thing, I'll give them something and they'll put it on. And there's a silence. And I think what's going on in the brain is, you know, how this plays for them. I try not to talk. Like, I just let actors look at it and mull it over and feel. And I can see the wheels turning of, like, is this going to work for this? Is this who this person is? So I just shut up. Like, here, try this on. And they look. And then they will speak. And we will... talk about it and decide, or they will feel it, or they will come back to me with, like, yeah, I see why this would do because of this, this, and this. So it's a really interesting time in the fitting room.
I guess we should talk a little bit too. You've got a show, a fit-em show, right?
Yes.
And talk about that a little
bit. I think we have 4 dresses from the film there. We've really been really lucky to be able to showed these gowns because they were beautifully made with beautiful fabrics, and I think they deserve to be inspected up closely. A lot of times I despise movie clothes being stuck on a mannequin because they're meant to be in context and moving and lit and filmed. These clothes were so beautifully made by Cecile Van Dyke in England. She was my cutter, and Thomas von Nordheim was my tailor, women's tailor, and all the wonderful seamstresses that we had. They were beautifully made, and they can rate a nice inspection. So there's that, and we had a fashion show in town here. I don't know at the Chateau Marmont. They did 12 looks. It was beautiful. And so it's nice to get them out, to get them that they're not just in a box someplace.
Well, they shouldn't be in a box. I'm sorry, Mark, we're out of time. You've got to come back and do the show again, please.
Thank you. I so enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. My guest, Oscar nominee and Oscar winner, Mark Bridges. The new film, of course, is Phantom Thread. Our recording engineer here at NPR West is Patrick Murray. This show is mixed by Kat Yore. It is edited by Blake White, associate producer. I'm going to go get myself a pair of Cleverleys. It's The Treatment. To catch up on past episodes of The Treatment, go to kcrw.com or listen on your smartphone with KCRW's mobile apps, or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you listen to podcasts. The Treatment is produced and distributed by KCRW Santa Monica.